Hey Cheryl, thank you. Hey everybody. I was wondering what Peter Cottontail was. Kathy wrote on the board. I get it now. Tabs are like bunnies. Okay, Kathy, thank you for your teaching. I really enjoyed your teaching, and that's the theme. That seems to be up right now in the mind, right? The teaching that seems to be up. It's all that same or different versions of this idea of the code and our responsibility within the code. So anyway, I just appreciate hearing that message over and over again. Before I go into any real sharing, I am going to play a song. I asked Inner Wisdom, what should I play? This is what I got.
Hold you in his arms, yeah, you can feel his disease. Come.
Well, that was fun. you know that that song was originally written for an ad campaign when Timothy Leary was running for something, and the Beatles wrote that in support of his campaign for him to use in his campaign. of course, the Beatles were before their time, and began looking at the issues that we look at years and years and years ago. And of course, Timothy Leary's message was, oh, how did it go? Drop out something and tune in. But the whole point was to eschew the ways of the world, right? The ways that we had come to encounter the world as a society, and really begin to live from your heart. So that's what he was about. That's what the Beatles were about, and I guess that's what we're about, right? So I guess that's how that fits in. I don't know. I thought, well, that's an interesting choice, but I try and do as I'm told. So I don't know where to start. So I'm just going to start with I have several journal entries. I say I don't know where to start, but let me start with this. Let me say that I had a week or so where there wasn't a lot going on. I don't even remember what I taught last time I taught, but it might have turn on, tune in, drop out. Thank you, Perrier. Turn on, tune in, drop out. That's right. So I had a week where, hey Jay, things were, pretty stagnant, pretty run of the mill. It didn't feel really like stagnation, but there wasn't really anything going on. Then I had some upsets, and I talked about that a little bit last night in Gentle Healing. We'll talk about it some more today. But I realize, having gone through the upset, having gone through the solution, and the solution for me was the code and similar messages from inner wisdom directly to me. I really realized with this latest upset what a gift it is. I mean, it doesn't feel like a gift when you're in it. When you're in it, it feels like crap, right? But I much prefer that to just, what did Kathy call it? I typed it in a while ago. Redundancy. What did she call it? The redundancy of a mediocre life, right? That's the kind of that just status quo, stay in the course, nothing really changing. And I, even though the upsets aren't don't feel good, they lead to healing. If it doesn't come up, it can't get healed. So I'm grateful for the upset, which sounds crazy. In fact, it's like Ego in the Revolver going, "Shut up! Don't say that. Be careful. You'll jinx yourself. You might get another upset." Well, okay, another healing is on its way. So, anyway, let me read to you my journal. This is from June. June the 6th. What would you teach me today? I asked, which is a good indication that I don't even know where to start. What would you teach me today? Inner wisdom says, the lesson is always the same. Smile, which is sweet. I've got smile in parentheses here because I felt the smile from inner wisdom. The lesson is always the same. You are not who you think you are. You and I are one and the same. Spend your time with me. Let go your close friendship with the mind. It is the mind that tells you, you're not an actor. This is no play. But when you check within, you know this is not true. You can feel your oneness with others come together, right? You can feel your oneness with others and with all things. Wake up. Quit clinging to your old way of being. There is neither safety nor comfort there. Notice how you feel as you give allegiance to the thinking mind. This I am your reality. Give thanks that this is so. Hang on a second. I apologize. Oh. Okay, sorry, that's about the house there in Louisville that's back on the market. The mortgage company rejected the short sale, so we're back at it. But you know what? It feels different this time around. yeah, there's a link in the ba there's a leak in the basement. Blah blah blah.
Wanna read it or
Oh,
ignore it?
and now my phone's fussing at me. Anyway, but it does feel different this time around. It just it I'm just feel that I'm getting more and more to this spot of you know that I talked about last night in gentle healing. And I'm trying to think of the words, and the words won't come in my head. Maybe there's some resistance to saying them. I don't mind what matters. No, I don't mind what matters. Isn't that funny? See, there is resistance. I don't mind what happens. Yeah. I don't mind what happens. So, you know, I think what's the reality of that is I really am beginning to get I have no control over what happens. You know, so what are you going to do? You're going to let it be. Oh, that's when I should have played, right? Let it be. Anywho, all right. Back to the journal. It says, see your thoughts as thoughts only. They do not and cannot tell you who you are. See beyond the illusion. When thoughts of comparison or feelings of less than are brought to you by the day's events, ask whether they are worthy of your focus. See yourself as that which allows all things. Ask me to help you do this. Together we cannot fail to see the truth in all things. Jay's written, those that mind don't matter, and those that matter don't mind. Funny, that was the advice when I got when I was campaigning. When I ran for judge forever ago. That's what they said about drinking. You shouldn't drink at campaign events because those that mind don't matter and those that matter don't mind. Or actually, I think it was backwards. Anyway, I'm getting distracted, so let me cut that out. Cut it out, Jay. Yeah, so you can see that last paragraph is really a lead-in to that this whole idea of the code. See your thoughts as thoughts only. They do not and cannot tell you who you are. And you know, that's a line that I often hear in my mind from The Matrix. When they are on their way to see the Oracle, and Neo, they're in the car in the Matrix, in the illusory world, right? Neo says, hey, I used to eat there at that noodle shop every day. Really good noodles. And then he said something like, you know, but none of that ever really happened. And he asked Trinity, he says, what does that mean? And Trinity says, it means the Matrix cannot tell you who you are. And I often hear Trinity say that in my head, right? But I mean, that really is the point of the code. You know, whatever seems to be happening on the screen cannot tell me who I am. It has nothing to do with who I am. And as Kathy was telling us a few minutes ago, in fact, it's meaningless because it's illusion, because it's the matrix. It's just meaningless. It doesn't tell you anything. Again, see your thoughts as thoughts only. They do not and cannot tell you who you are. See beyond the illusion. When thoughts of comparison or feelings of less than are brought to you by the day's events, ask whether they are worthy of your focus. And I think this was the beginning of my upset. That I just went through with this friend. And it was, it's funny because it's documented here in these pages, right? But the end of that event, the middle of that event was I saw this friend's being really, really critical. And then after a couple of days of stewing in that, I went, oh, and well, I think I've written about that in my journal. Oh, it's me. When I had a chance to really get quiet, it's me. It's my self-loathing and my self-criticism that are coming through in seemingly in the words and actions of my friend. And but I think, see, it started back here where I had begun a comparison with the friend and found myself lacking. And so, she's smarter, she's more articulate, she's this, she's that, right? So that was like, fermentation of this discontent, this self-discontent. I didn't really see it coming. I knew there was an upset, but I certainly hadn't identified it as that. But the comparison was the beginning of that. When thoughts of comparison or feelings of less than are brought to you by the day's events, ask whether they are worthy of your focus. See yourself as that which allows all things. Ask me to help you do this. Together we cannot fail to see the truth in all things. All right, and then 2 days later, I said, "What I need to know here, learn today." So anyway, okay, so it's starting to get ugly, I think, because I didn't even ask the full question, as in, "Tell me what I need to know here, learn today." This is it. And I wrote down after I had had an opportunity to spend time in quiet alone. In fact, while I was driving a car, this came in just it just you know, and that and the request for help resulted in a knowing. An inner knowing, and then so here I'm documenting that. And I wrote, I clearly saw today that it is my own self-loathing and self-criticism that leads me to see others as being critical of me. I people my script with those who will confirm my suspicion that there is something wrong with me. What would you have me do with that revelation? Inner wisdom says, your recognition is the light that shines away your belief in your unworthiness. It's simply the recognition that it's my, that it's where Regina talks in the code about taking responsibility. When I recognize that this it's me, it's not about the friend, right? It's not about how others see me. It's how I see myself. That's what, just like the course has been telling us for years, right? That's what I project out. These feelings of unworthiness I project out, and then I'm shocked to see them coming out of somebody else's mouth or, being evident in their actions. Recognize the matrix can't tell me what I am exactly, Karen. Your recognition is the light that shines away your belief in your unworthiness. When you feel the string of, excuse me, when you feel the sting of criticism, when you infer another's opinion of you, based on what they have or what they have done or on what they have left unsaid or undone, you will now see that it truly is you who but does this to yourself. You know, and that's the thing, it's that, yeah, a string of stings. That's exactly how it is, Kathy. Because you can see, like the day before, I was already starting to get into this whole comparison mode, and then, you know, or 2 days before, 2 days later, I have been stung many times by the thought. And, you know, it refers here to this inference. You know, so then I get this idea in my mind, and then I go out and I try and find proof of that. See there? We'll see what she just said. Or, oh, I'm sure she's thinking blah, blah, blah. But what she doesn't know is that you know, so I make up a story about how this person's being critical. And then, you know, everything they do, I want to assign that same meaning to it. You know, so you can see, I was going to say right before I started talking about this, you know, I'm not quite sure how it works, how you get these people to play that role for you, right? But this is a large part of it. I mean, a large part of it isn't even happening. Isn't even happening. You know, and then there's who knows whether, I was going to say, and then there's a few things that are, you know, a sharp tone or something thrown in for good measure. But who knows whether this would occur at all without my believing in my own criticism worthiness, right? My own unworthiness. But it's clear that I have the judgment of me. And then I marshal the evidence. And if I'm looking for evidence of my unworthiness, I can find it. I either make it up out of whole cloth, or I take whatever's going on with somebody else, and you know, manipulate it, not consciously so, it's unconscious, but manipulate it so that it fits within my story. See, she does think I'm unworthy. Yeah, I saw the way you looked at me. Yeah, absolutely, Dove. Analyzing the motives of others is hazardous to you. It's hazardous because you can't know. Moreover, it doesn't mean anything. Is use it to support whatever story you want to support. And, you know, given this underlying unworthiness belief that many of us have, I guess I've heard Regina say many of us have it. I heard Adi Ashanti say many of us have it. He's written a whole book about it. But you know, I think of Course in Miracles would call it guilt, right? But given that this is that we're out to either prove our unworthiness or disprove it because we believe it. It's there, and so then we look to the motives of others to for proof. We look everywhere we can to find this proof that we're in fact unworthy. See there, proof positive. Let's see. Your recognition is the light that shines away your belief in your unworthiness. When you feel the sting of criticism, when you infer another's opinion of you based on what they have done or what they have left unsaid or undone, yeah, which is funny, right? Even when they don't do anything, there I got proof. They should have done something, right? You will now see that it truly is you who but does this to yourself. Bye, Kathy. Oh, thanks. I really enjoyed your program today. You let go the belief that you are unworthy by resting in the knowledge that you are not the character you seem to be portraying. You and I want to read that again because this is for me. You let go the belief that you are unworthy by by resting in the knowledge that you are not the character you seem to be portraying. You keep trying to figure out how you can improve Jacqueline. This Jacqueline thought is the problem. You know this as you contemplate giving up the endeavor to perfect her. You feel the loss as you contemplate letting that go. And I did, because when I got the message, you keep trying to figure out how to improve Jacqueline, and the thought that your Jacqueline is the problem and you need to let that go, I went, whoa. I mean, even though intellectually, I mean, I've been saying this for a long time. I probably said it in every one of these recordings, if you cared to go back and listen to them. But when I really contemplated that that's the fundamental problem, or on this day when I contemplated that that was the fundamental problem, I felt a sense of loss. Oh, but I don't want to let Jacqueline go. It says, you feel you are just on the verge of getting it right. And that's the truth. I'm like, oh, I'm this close, right? We're getting so much better. You know, shoot, she's really starting to, you know, be somebody. She's starting to get it. It's absurd, really, when you say it out loud. You feel you are just on the verge of getting it right. That is a fool's game, a zero-sum game. That is a battle you cannot win. Thus, when you feel the contraction of self-condemnation, and it is always self-condemnation, remember, you are not that self. That self cannot be improved or perfected. And simply reach inside for the love that you are. As you feel this love within yourself, you will extend it to everyone you encounter. In this way, you share the joy of your being and let go the idea of personhood. Yeah, and I can feel that switch even now. I got the shift. I mean, I got the shift as I wrote this, right? The difference between contracting around, am I doing this right? Am I good enough now? To just extending love. And again, you know, it's a visceral thing because the words are easy to say. But just to feel the difference in those two, I was going to say emotions, but the real word is direction. You know, it's this outward focus. Am I good enough now? Versus, let me just give everything within me that I have to give. Yeah, I can feel the difference between the contraction and the expansion of that. That's the end of that message. So let's look at the next day. Still suffering. This was written right before I went to sleep the very next day, and I was still suffering. So it's like, okay, so, you know, that felt good for about 5 minutes. Okay, let go of the person. I've been saying that for a long time, but, you know, where's the relief? I need relief. And, of course, this is when the tips started focusing on this idea of the code that we talked about in general healing last night. And that's when inner wisdom in my journaling turned to the same thing. This is the beginning of the end. You know that the suffering of the world is in your hands. You must make a decision to transcend your own willingness to continue to suffer. I cannot teach you what you would not learn. Come to me with wholly empty hands means letting go of what you think you want. Your truth arises when that is what you desire with your whole heart. It is time to give your heart to me. You must question what anything is for. Does it lead you towards or away from your discovery of your truth? Lay down your fear by surrendering to me. I am there to catch you if you fall. Trust me. Give up half measures and self-deception. Give yourself to me. Yeah, so I think part of this came in because, not only was I suffering through this latest incident, but I think I had probably just co-facilitated, well, I know I had, and I think this might have been part of what was feeding this, had just quote-unquote co-facilitated gentle healing with Regina, and it was more of a hey, like, and I listened to that again the other day when I was getting ready to facilitate gentle healing last night, but I wasn't really all there, and it's like so I'm asking myself, are you in or are you out? How fully are you in? Are you spending your days, on Facebook and watching whatever on television? Are you in or out? And so that's why I appreciate the sentence that says, you got to make a choice. You can't be in both camps. You got to give up half measures and self-deception. You're saying, heal me, heal me, heal me. But is that what you want with your whole heart? You have to make this decision, and the time to make this decision is now. So I did. So then the next morning, the next morning, I got guidance to go to the computer to journal, which is not what I normally do. I have this lovely leather-bound book my sister Debbie got for me, and I normally journal in that, if I journal at all. Again, half measures, right? The whole gentle healing class is journaling, and, sometimes I do it if I feel like it, right? So, so after meditating the next morning, my guidance was to journal on the computer. I'm still suffering from the conflict in this relationship, this self-condemnation that I'm attributing to my friend. So I wrote, my guidance is to journal on the computer today. I felt a real urge to up my game last night, and the guidance that came through my journaling confirmed this impulse. In fact, it even used words, this is the beginning of the end, that I later heard RDA, Regina, use in The Code. Also, the suffering of the world is dependent upon you. It was cool because I'd just written that, and then I turned on and listened to The Code, Regina teaching The Code, and I went, oh my God, I just said those. This is the beginning of the end was the same message that came to her in when she wrote The Code. So that was, winks from the universe. You are on the right path, my dear. And then I wrote, I can feel the truth of who I am to the depth of my being. I can feel the truth of who I am to the depth of my being. NTI tells me to rest here, where I know in the depths of my heart and my soul that I am not alone. And again, the song that Holy Spirit had us start with, Come Together, is just really coming up strong now. I am not alone. I'm not alone. It's funny. I'm not alone. I'm not a singular individual, separate entity that I would envision myself to be. I'm not alone because Jesus, Holy Spirit, inner wisdom is here with me. I'm not alone because that word doesn't even make any sense in terms of the oneness that we are, the oneness of being. How could I ever be alone? In fact, you know, having these thoughts and then having my friends say them about me, or, you know, say, be critical of me, is just a demonstration of the oneness. It's like Ephesians teaches, love is spirit, giving to spirit, through spirit, that which spirit requests. I mean, you know, well, there can't be anything more loving than I ask for something and you give it to me. That's oneness. How could I ever be alone? I can feel the truth of who I am to the depth of my being. NTI tells me to rest here, where I know in the depths of my heart and my soul that I am not alone. I am ready to rely completely on the promise found there. Holy Spirit, I invite you to move me as you see fit. Help me to see that the quote-unquote reality upon which I have been focused is code only, and that there is no value to be found there. Fear would keep me from recognizing the truth, but fear is code only as well. I give this time and all time to you to do what you would have me do. Please help me to see that the choice is entirely up to me. Please guide me as I turn all decisions over to you. Yeah, I can hear the surrender in that, and it brings tears to my eyes as I read it now. And then I asked, what would you have me learn, hear, know today? You know, and before I read this, I will say that part of the reason that I haven't been great at journaling is because I haven't been, because it hadn't sounded like there's a lot of wisdom coming through, right? Although, again, you see what you want to see. Because when I read it to you guys, I see a lot of wisdom in that. But that's not how I was feeling about it. It felt more like, oh, you know, I'm just picking up a pen and writing down things that, you know, kind of sound cool. But I see inner wisdom come through those written journaling entries. It was really cool this day to get the prompt to put down the pen and go to the computer. Anyway, this is what came. What would you have me learn, hear, know today? You still, and I read part of this last night, but I didn't read all of it, so let me read it. You still seek solutions that lead to the exaltation of the character. You still seek results that say, isn't she great? She is not great. She is an illusion. Only by seeing illusion as illusion can it be let go. As long as you refer to her as me, you will not see she is an illusion. Remember when you watch the character, she is illusion. For this reason, you cannot look to the results, to the fruits of the character's labors, for validation of your spiritual progress, for your daily bread. The character does not exist, and to look for fruits there is to perpetuate the illusion. Simply follow. Follow without the need for verification or validation. Let go of the need to see evidence in your world. You continue to look there because you believe that until the evidence is found, right? All these people ought to be going, Gosh, Jacqueline, you're great. You're so spiritual and wise, and look at you, channel Holy Spirit. Right, that's what this is talking about. I mean, that's what's going on, right, in the depths of the mind. That's what's being referred to here when it says you still seek results that say, "Isn't she great?" Right? So again, remember when you watch the character, she is illusion. For this reason, she being Jacqueline, right? Thanks, Dove. Yeah, that's what Holy Spirit says. Yeah, but ego wants to give all credit to the character, and yeah, it's just again, it's a fool's game. It's a zero-sum game. You know, you can't win that way. All right. Remember when you watch the character, she is illusion. For this reason, you cannot look to the results, to the fruits of the character's labors for validation of your spiritual progress, for your daily bread. The character, right? That's what I want to exist on, right? And I think it's interesting, this reference to daily bread, because that's what I want to feed on, that feed on. That's what the character feeds on, right? This idea of progress, progress as a person, progress as a spiritual student, progress as a conduit for Holy Spirit. Yeah, Karen says that's what the mind is telling you you want. Yeah, or the matrix is telling you you want, right? So remember when you watch the character, she is illusion. For this reason, you cannot look to the results, to the fruits of the character's labors for validation of your spiritual progress, for your daily bread. The character does not exist, and to look for fruits there is to perpetuate the illusion. Simply follow. Follow without the need for verification or validation. Let go of the need to see evidence in your world. You continue to look there because you believe that until the evidence is found, you are not getting results. Look within. This is where the results are found. The results cannot be found in manifestation. Manifestation is a distraction from the knowledge of our truth. There is no world. This is the truth you seek. Why then would you look to the illusion to prove the truth? This is a loop of impossibility. Ask me to show you the truth and rest there with me in the assurance that you will receive as you have asked. Right? Don't look and go, does she recognize I'm spiritual now? Right? Does she recognize I get it? You can see the loop there. It's just impossible. Ask me to show you the truth and rest there with me in the assurance that you will receive as you have asked. Nothing more is required. If you require more, you are simply believing in the impossibility of the world. All right. It's funny because it's so subtle, you know. You don't realize you're doing it. If you did realize it, you wouldn't admit it. You. It's so subtle, I didn't realize I was doing it. And had I realized, I sure wouldn't have admitted it, right? That I'm looking, you know, that I'm using my spiritual my worldly measuring stick to measure my spiritual progress. It's just absurd. So. Yeah, there is nothing outside of you. This is what you must ultimately learn. Absolutely. Yeah. Practice that. Is that humility? Karen? All right, on yeah, absolutely. Practice all that you heard from spirit. Absolutely, Karen. Thank you. All right, on six on the next day, I wrote, "What would you have me know?" And of course, now I've listened to the code again. I've gone back over the lessons with the tips from the week with that in mind. I've gone back over the journey, so it's starting to come together for me. Come together, right? So I asked, "What would you have me know about unweaving myself from judgment and the world?" I would only tell you that you know within the depths of your being. You are the power of pure consciousness. Because you hold this power, you can choose to have whatever experience you choose to have. However, you must step out of your current experience in order to remove the blocks to understanding your true creative power. You are beginning to see that what you experience originates first in the thoughts you think you think. You then project those thoughts onto people and objects that appear external to you. Of course, there is nothing external to you. All is contained within the one self that you are. This world is fantasy. That is good news because the fantasy is not reality. Because the wish for something different than the truth of being can be unwished. When you encounter upset in your mind, be willing to see that you have become invested in, addicted to, that way of seeing. Wow. Yeah, I got more questions, Karen. Always more questions. What? What'd you say? Tell me again, Holy Spirit. When you encounter upset in your mind, be willing to see that you have become invested in, addicted to, that way of seeing. And it certainly felt like an addiction because, my mind kept going back to these stories and it'd be like, well, yeah, oh, yeah, well, what about when she said this? Or what about when she did that? Or what about this? Or what, and it would do that in rapid succession within one instant. And then I would apply the teachings of the code. Oh, that's only code. Right? I see that script. I know it's a script. I do not have to relive this script. And I'm willing to let that go as thought only, as my crap only, right? Certainly not hers. Great. And then it would be back in the next, minute or 2 minutes. And so I spent several days just practicing the code on that upset. And so it felt like an addiction. Again, when you encounter ups, yeah, I'd get my fix, right? Every 3 seconds. When you encounter upset in your mind, be willing to see that you have become invested in, addicted to that way of seeing. You chose to have the experience. Now you can choose to let it go. Let me show you where you have invested your belief. If you experience discomfort, you can be sure that you are heavily invested in judging something as real. First, recognize the experience is not real. Then ask me to show you the truth. There are some thoughts, scenarios in which you are heavily invested. These must be seen through and recognized as emanating from fantasy many times, until they become immediately recognizable as your investment in fantasy. For this, you must remain vigilant. Do not let them go unnoticed or unaddressed. Take back the judgments that would keep you in bondage. Ask me to show you how to see. And that's exactly the process that I went through, right? One of these investments is the belief that you are alone. That the truth of which I tell you is not true. You believe that the decision to journal and the words that come from that decision are all made up by the character within the play. I didn't realize I went here with this. It's noted here, the character has no individual volition. Right? The character doesn't act on its own. It only acts according, as Regina's been telling us, according to whatever script it's following. It doesn't have any individual volition, any individual will, the character. The character has no individual volition. You function as character only to experience that which you are not. Without consciousness, the character would cease to be. You are consciousness. You are that which animates and enlivens the character. Thus, the character can be seen through. Thus, the character can be let go. Ask me how to let go the thoughts that keep you in character. I will help you see through the character. You and I are one. There is no you. There is no I. There is no character. There is simply consciousness experiencing consciousness. Continue to write with me and use this time to avoid judging what you hear. Your character need not agree. Your character need not believe. Your character cannot exist independently of your decision. Your decision is your power. Use it to unwind from the script you have made. I will not leave you comfortless because I cannot leave you. I am you and you are me. Cuckoo, ca-choo. Again, the Beatles coming back. I am you and you are me. Remember that as you seem to walk through the travails of the script, it is useful to do as you have been doing and call the script a script. It is helpful to identify each thought that supports that script and choose to see it as script. When these thoughts are seen as script written by you, you can begin to let them go. You will not rewrite the script. To allow the character you think you are to rewrite the script is to continue to believe that you are the character. You are consciousness. Ask me to show you how to rest in the power of being that which you are. Your experience of your perfect being will come not when you rethink the character's position, beliefs, habits, but when you recognize that the character exists within the script only. Okay, so thanks for letting me share. My time is up. I love you guys, and I'll see you next time. Bye.